good morning. It is so glad to see each one of you here on this beautiful Mother's Day as well as the Lord's Day. Yes, Michael. John? Thank you so much. We are so glad that you're here. Anyone, is this your first time with us this morning? Good. We are so glad that you're here. Thank you so much for being with us. John is right over here. Let's make sure we greet each other, and let's don't forget John being with us this morning. Take a few moments. We have a bulletin full of announcements. Is there anything in particular that anyone wants to draw our attention to? Yes. Any other announcements? All right. Yes, Charlie. Great. Very good. His report this morning.
I'll jump right in. Jerry Lindrow has plus I because all week. And then last night the word was that her son. That can be very serious if you get in your life. And so pray for her. I hope she's under a doctor's care. Not that her dad also encouraged her last week, I believe, to bring out Mr. West. Jerry can ask him.
I mentioned last week that my mother had fallen, and a second CAT scan indicates that she had several strokes. So she is now back at Trevecca Rehab. So if you can remember her, her name is Eunice Bradley. Yes.
Four weeks old. Both grand, sets of grandparents,
and we just welcome. Help me, I forgot. I read it on the wall, but I can't remember. Miranda. So we're so happy to have her with us.
Anything else? Pause for a moment of silence as we ask the Lord to be with us in our service, and we welcome Him as the light of the world. Worship this morning is found in your bulletin. It is responsive. I am the way and the truth and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another.
Father, we come being called Christians because we trust in your Son, Jesus, who is the Christ. And we know, Lord, that once that was a put down to call someone a Christian, that your people who had faith in Christ, they kept being proud to be associated with one who, though he was crucified as a criminal, dead and buried, he rose to new life
We celebrate that. We thank you that we can be a part of the Christians throughout the world, those who are trusting in Jesus as the Christ, your Son, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to be our Savior, to save us, to pay for our sins. Thank you that through Him we know forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you that we can come and sing and celebrate today. Sing hallelujah. Praise be unto you. And we offer this hour, we offer ourselves in your holy name and in the name of Jesus. And come praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing, and we'll put our faith in words through the Apostles' Creed, followed by the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And it was in the beginning, it is now and ever.
Special time in our service when we confess to the Lord our sins. Our call to confession is from 1 Samuel, and it says, "When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, 'We have sinned against the Lord.'" Our prayer of confession is in unison. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed, and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak, and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant, given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is from Psalm 32. I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
We'll please to hymn 560. And let's do the marked verses 1, 3, and 5.
verses or a verse and a half was left out of Psalm 31.
Him and follow Him.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You for the great gift of Jesus, that You also gave us mothers. And we remember the care that Jesus provided for His mother as He was dying upon the cross. He thought not of Himself, but He continued to think of her and her well-being. And we thank You for that faithful friend named John who took her and cared for her. Lord, we thank You for our mothers, the influence that they had on their lives. We pray Your blessings upon them. We thank You for those who have gone from this life. And remember them before You. Praise be unto You, O Lord Most High.
That it says in the bulletin that I will sing how great Thou art. However, I'm not going to sing that. I got that email Thursday about what I was going to sing, and I just threw something out there. But this song that I'm going to do has been on my heart, and I'd also like to give a little Mother's Day tribute today. My mother is still alive. However, I was raised by my grandmother. And my grandmother was about 50 when she decided that I needed to live with her. And I was about 4. And I didn't appreciate that very much until I had my own grandson. And he was about 4 years old and spent a weekend with us. My grandmother made a great sacrifice for me. She really did. And the title of this song is called No Greater Love. Of course, it's about Jesus laying down His life for us, but there was no greater love in my life than my grandmother. So Nancy,
wow.
Before I knew Your name, You knew my every breath. Before I found my way, You knew my every step. Before I knew everything that I need, You gave it all to No greater love than this, that You should lay down Your life for someone such as me. I spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart. And I know there can be no greater love. Than this. I never understood how merciful love could be, until I found this faith that lights every part of me. And I will give everything that I am, for I have been saved. Oh, I have been saved. No greater love than this, that you should lay down your life for someone such as me. I'd spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart, and I know there can be no greater love. No greater love than this, that you should lay down your life for someone such as me. And I spend a lifetime just wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart, and I know there can be no greater love for someone just like me. No greater love. Than his.
This morning is found from Matthew. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. But I should come forward.
Let us go to God in prayer. Lord God, you told us the importance of being at peace with one another. And enable us to obey your instructions. Let us rest not until we have obeyed. We come now thanking you for what you have bestowed upon us. Many blessings. Thank you for the privilege of sharing and having a part in your work in the world. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the ivory. This is the ivory. Your holy power living in me. This is my daily bread.
Scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 18. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Laconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We are two only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own ways. Yet he was not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowds from sacrificing them. The word of God for the people of God.
As I read this passage from the book of Acts, the thought or the part that grabbed me was that we should have no other gods before us. That's what the people of Lystra were doing. They were trying to make gods out of human beings. Being a pagan society, they had been worshiping imaginary gods. Go read your Greek or Roman mythology, and you can learn a bit about the gods that they worshiped. And we have two names here. So I came up with the title, No God Except God. Or, look at what God spoke through Moses, Thou shalt have no other gods before thee, or before me. We shall not worship any god but the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Acts chapter 14, 8 through 18. But certainly we don't want to limit our study for this lesson to that. And then Exodus 20, verse 3. I see this sermon as being educational, more so than a normal sermon maybe. And I hope that we can review, or I have attempted to bring before you a review of the power of God, reviewing the power of God to heal. And then to warn against making gods out of the ordinary. That's what Paul and Barnabas saw themselves as. They were mere people. They were outstanding men. But they were still not gods and not to be worshipped. Even in an educational sermon or a teaching lesson, someone may, through that sermon, hear the call of Jesus. Maybe a need for healing. And we can see that it would be right for us to call upon the Lord for healing. Or maybe, hopefully, the need for salvation, if we haven't experienced that yet, that we would call upon the name of the Lord. The historical setting. Paul and Barnabas were on their first missionary journey. John Mark was with them, but John left and went back home pretty quickly. And they are engaged in their mission, or their preaching mission, to Central Asia Minor. On the trip, they went to Antioch of Pisidia, and they were driven out. The gospel was not always received very well. They were driven out of, someone has called it, Pisidia and Antioch. There are two Antiochs, one just Antioch and one Antioch of Pisidia in Central Asia. And they went on to Iconium, if I pronounced that right. And they preach, but they meet resistance there also. They're run out of town. They're preaching the good news of Jesus. And the Jewish people there who were in control, and they have, I think, my memory serves me right, I didn't make a note of this, but I think they had a synagogue in Iconium. And they were preaching Jesus, and the Jewish people did not accept Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior, the one sent from God to fulfill all the prophecies. So they got upset and they run them out of town there. And they go on to a place called Lystra or Lystra and Derbe, two little places. And today we get to the town of Lystra. So the historical setting for this particular lesson is an account of a physical healing. They were preaching and a man was crippled, and then he got healed. God healed him. And then we find, number two, a reaction to that healing. The people in town really got excited about people coming to town and healing their crippled friend. And then we find the response of Paul and Barnabas to this unhealthy reaction, I guess we could say. We call it an unhealthy reaction. We might want to look back in the 13th chapter of Acts to see what Paul was preaching. He was proclaiming God's word. But this passage, if you read it again, if you notice, what preachers do, they look to the details, I guess, or lack thereof. We don't have recorded the message, the words of the sermon that he was preaching in Lystra. It said he was preaching. It does not specifically say what he was preaching there, but the previous chapter in the previous town or towns, we do know what he was preaching. It tells us that. And these, looking at these words or this message in the previous town, he was going to town after town. We can assume that it was the same message or very similar message. And that was Jesus. He was preaching Jesus and him crucified, but not only crucified, he was preaching Jesus crucified, but risen, raised up by God. So, and we can find that back in where he preached in Antioch of Pisidia, or the Pisidian Antioch. Also, based on the healing and the man looking for healing, we can conjecture, but only conjecture, that he was preaching about the healing miracles of Jesus. Maybe he saw this man who was crippled and knew about Jesus healing people. That's not written in there. But how did the man even know that he might be healed? We can assume, I guess, but it's dangerous to assume, and I know that. But we do look at this and we assume it's very possible, I've said, it's very possible that he preached about the healing power of Jesus, the physical healing power of Jesus. If you want to go back to read the preaching of Jesus, you can go back to chapter 13 and begin with about verse 26 and read through verse 39. And he was preaching before this about Old Testament history. He was bringing it up today about the background, where Jesus came from, the Israelites in Egypt, and how God had led them out of Egypt, and how they first had judges, and then they had kings. This is, in the 13th chapter. That was his message there. So he gave a real background. And then he got to Jesus. I think it's verse 26. He says, "Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us the word of this salvation is sent out." Salvation through Jesus. "For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers recognize neither him nor the utterances of the prophets which are read every Sabbath." They had heard about him, the utterances of the prophets, and they read them every Sabbath in the synagogue or in the temple. But they didn't put the two together, he was saying. "And although they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed. And when they had carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in the tomb. So what was his message in Antioch? So we can assume that was his message here in Lystra. Also in chapter 14, verse 7, right before we get to where we begin our lesson today, and there, in Lystra and Derbe, it's there they continued to preach the gospel being the good news of Jesus. And in the 13th chapter, he went on to talk about, preach about, God being raised to new life. And so in Lystra and Derbe, it says that he continued to preach the good news. What is the good news? That's what we see back in chapter 13. Jesus, dead, buried, raised to new life, and through him, the forgiveness of sin. No better news than that that I know of. That's better than a new plant coming to town. That's better than a new subdivision coming to town, or a new subdivision being prevented from coming to town, whichever way you look at it. That's good news, Jesus. And through him, forgiveness of sin, death, burial, resurrection, overcoming sin and death, experiencing new life, the first fruits of them that trust in him. So, that's the message we are assuming. Paul looked and he saw a cripple. A man crippled. He had been crippled since birth. He was in the audience, and for some way, there's a lot left out of this chapter as I read it, but I think there's enough for us, all that God wanted to put in there. But from my thinking, they could have gone into a little more detail, could they not? Maybe that just gave us something to do when we try to preach on this chapter, and I don't remember ever trying it before. I may have, but I don't remember it. You know what happens to the memory? Sam has a saying about this. First thing that goes, they can't remember what it's second. Is that what you say? Something. Okay. I don't remember preaching on this before. Maybe that's why it grabbed me when I was reading. Crippled man, Paul looked at him and saw that he had the faith to be healed. As you read verse 9, one reason he had the faith, he listened. He listened. He didn't zip through the songbook while the preaching was going on. He didn't cut his fingernails, as I remember doing, and click, 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 all through the audience. I did it myself. People would look at me and say, he didn't write notes to his girlfriend or to his boyfriend the girl that he hoped to be his boyfriend or whatever. The girl that he hoped to be his girlfriend. If I get all that straight. You understand what I mean. Hopefully you do. He listened. Verse 9. That causes me to say, just how is our listening? Sometimes it's hard to listen. That's one reason. One reason when we got the opportunity to do it, we put it on the screen and printed it for you, where it might not be so hard to listen, because I have a little trouble listening to preachers sometimes. So try to offer every help that you can. Then in verse 10, Paul looked at him, saw he had the faith to be healed, and called him to walk or to stand up. And he did. And one version says that he leaped. One says he jumped up, I think. He leaped or jumped up. The people thought that Paul and Barnabas were God. Who else could do this? A normal man could not. They were abnormal in that they had the power of God with them. And the healing power of God with them. Paul and Barnabas resisted being elevated to divine status. Verse 14 and verse 15. And friends, when people start patting you on the back and bragging on you and giving you accolades, when they start heaping them up on you and shoveling a few more on you, it's hard to say, hey, stop it. You know that. Every time it's happened to you. It's not an easy thing to turn a deaf ear to the praises But they did it. The Roman emperors had not been so fortunate. I understand, and I really wasn't able to validate this like I thought I could, but that the Roman emperors, in the beginning, the early emperors, did not even consider themselves divine. But by the time Christ was born and was recognized as the Lord of life, Caesar was Lord. And the Roman emperor of that day, in the later days, they enjoyed that thought. But the people had one emperor they had built a statue to. And he looked at it, liked it, enjoyed it, and that was kind of the beginning of the emperor being considered divine or being Lord. It was not in Paul's mind at all to be considered a god. He was only a man, and he said he was only a man. He was bringing the message of God and the gifts of God to the people, but he continued to say, I'm only a man. So he urged, or they urged this pagan population, and they were pagan population, to turn away from vain things. What are vain things? You know, the writer of Ecclesiastes says all is vanity, and he lists everything in life. Riches, a harem, more riches, wisdom and power, and he concluded to the end, everything was vain. All is vanity. He concluded by saying, though, that the important thing was to fear God and to keep His commandments. Paul and Barnabas not only asked them to turn away from the vain things in life, in verse 15 they called on the crowd to recognize God as Creator. Recognize God as Creator. And I think that's an important thought today, that we recognize it's God who has created this world. We still have arguments about it in school. Did it just come into being? Or was God there to create it? I urge you to recognize that God created it. And people smarter than me say they can look at it and say, oh, it just happened. But as I look at the order, it couldn't have just happened. Even the makeup of the human body and how it functions, as little as I know about it, I can say it could not have just happened. Then they reminded them in verse 17 that God had been in their midst all along. They just didn't recognize it. And sometimes that is the case. He's in our midst, but we don't recognize it. He was in the rain that came. He was in the plants that grew. Oh, that was a result. He blessed them. He sent them because He had made them. They, Paul and Barnabas, they preached. They preached the good news. The Bible says that they won the number of disciples. That brings me to say, maybe you're ready to trust Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Like those people of Lystra, maybe you're ready today to become one of Jesus' disciples. Turn to 448 if you will. We who are His disciples, we have a charge to keep. If you haven't yet become, but we decide now to become one of His disciples and join in the battle for peace and love and salvation. That invitation is extended to 1 and 4. 448. That you are in charge and that you have been here since the beginning and even before, because in the beginning you began to create the world, in the beginning of this earth, of this world. Thank you, Father, that you have not left us to fend by ourselves, but Jesus, you have provided every good gift that we need, especially salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Praise be unto you. And send us forth, O Lord, making that good news known by our words as well as our actions. In His holy name, that name of Jesus. Amen. Good.